You're listening to The Plumbing Sales Coach, where we give companies the strategies and skills to create a massive customer following. Fresh. Thank you for making us part of Spotify's top 10% most shared and followed podcast. And now, your host, Chris.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Fresh Approach. I'm your host, CF, the Plumbing Sales Coach, and today we're going to talk about merchandising. What is it? How does it work? And why is it important? Merchandising is something that's been around for ages. It's something that every store, brick and mortar, uses. Every time you go into a business, for the most part, there is strategy and there is thought process into what you experience, where you experience it, and for how much it costs when you experience it. All these things should be, are, and usually are considered inside of that process. Of a company like Target, Walmart, Best Buy, the bigger stores, they're always going to have an entire department, an entire division dedicated to just this. They have employees, they have training, they have strategy when it comes to merchandising. And we're going to talk about that today. Even your convenience stores, your smaller stores, your mom and pop even ones would have some sort of merchandising when it comes to how they lay out the store, how they display things in the store. If you've ever watched the show The Prophet with Marcus Lemonis back in the day, he would merchandise. That's one of the things that he would do when he walked into a brick and mortar store, is he would relay out things as it made sense, not only for customer experience, but also for product placement, as well as the pricing model that goes along with that. And we're going to talk about that today. There's six things that we need to do when it comes to merchandising. And I want to apply that specifically to merchandising in your business, no matter what business you have. But for you service plumbers out there, the owners out there, I want to really nail this in regards to that industry, because that is what we talk about on here, is service plumbing all the time. In fact, it's the entire industry that we serve. And it doesn't matter what industry you're in, this stuff does relate. It does work no matter where you are, because these are the frameworks of business. But at the same time, we do plug this right into the home. Now, if it works for service plumbing, I could imagine that no matter what you do, you could apply these principles. So we're going to go over the principles in generalities, but at the same time, we're going to apply these directly to the service plumbing industry. Now, before we get too far into that, speaking of which, we have a huge event coming up in a couple of days, the May 5th and May 6th Water Heater Water Softener School. If that's already sold out, that is closed for sales. You cannot get tickets to that, but make sure you pay attention to these events that are coming up, because we're going to have a blast. I cannot wait. We're doing a huge giveaway. It's going to be amazing. We're giving away gift cards. We're giving away all kinds of stuff, merchandise and gear. Plus, we've got around 70 or so technicians that are going to be here, plumbing owners and plumbing technicians that are going to be here learning how to communicate, how to diagnose, and how to offer water heaters, tankless water heaters, softeners, water conditioners. And this is the kind of stuff that we teach inside of our program as well, all throughout our podcast, all throughout our posts. So a couple things you can do really quick to make sure you're not missing out. Make sure you're not missing out on some of the greatest free training in the world, I would say. And that is in our Fresh Force Facebook group. Make sure you go join that, Fresh Force Service Plumbing Experts. Make sure you join that group and we will get you in there. And there's always posts and tips. Sometimes we've done water heater, water softener schools in there for free. We've done price book trainings and scheduling trainings in there for free. Make sure you guys go in there. In fact, they're pinned at the top. You can go check those out immediately. You can go in there and request to become a member and we will approve you if you answer all the questions. Now, the next thing you can do is you can go to our website. We got some free trainings on our website, theplumbingsalescoach.com. Great place to go and get updated and get information. More importantly, you can request information about our program. All the things I just mentioned were free. Our program is not. You can request more information and watch how we've helped tons of companies. Just got some feedback from another company the other day. From $30,000 to $230,000 a month in service revenue. That's mind-blowing in just a couple years. Love it. And tons of other stories like that. We're not going to wear you out with that. But don't miss out. We got all kinds of stuff going on. We're helping companies all the time. And we've seen some explosion. And I want to help you guys do the same. So make sure you guys reach out to plumbingsalescoach.com. Or you can call us. Do you guys know that? You can just text us. You literally can just shoot us a text message and we will help you out. The best way to do that is by sending us that number to 317-605-2284. You can also call us. Same number. Call us or text us. 317-605-2284. All right, let's get into merchandising. There's six things we got to cover today. So I want to make sure we get through these. And I want to apply them back into the plumbing world and exactly how they work. But the first one that we're going to talk about is product placement. This is what they said. The placement of products in a store can greatly impact their visibility and appeal to customers. Products should be placed in a high traffic area, such as near the entrance or checkout, and in a way that makes sense to the customer. Now, some of the big mistakes I see in the plumbing industry is companies will use a whole house checklist to try to accomplish something like this. They'll use the whole house checklist to get the customer aware of other products. The problem is, it's like forcing somebody to walk down an aisle they don't want to walk down, rather than making it available and being smart about where you place it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But that's what they would be talking about there. The second one is product pricing. And we talk about this all the time. Value stacking is the core strategy that we teach. It's the core strategy I've used to build multiple seven-figure businesses for myself. It's the core strategy I've used to teach other plumbing companies, restoration, insurance, plumbing. I've helped so many, roofing, retail battery sales. I've helped so many different style companies. Value stacking is the core. Inside of value stacking, you have to have the proper pricing, the proper price book, the proper menu if you're a restaurant. You have to have the proper pricing because pricing can have a major impact on sales. That's what it says. Products should be priced competitively based on factors such as competition, product costs, and profit margins. Now, I would say this. You do need to consider competition only so you know the amount of value that you need to offer. You do not need to price your products based on what other competitors are pricing. But you do need to know what production costs are, and you do need to know what profit margins are. A lot of times people make this mistake right here where they bring in their overhead, their operational costs, they build that into their pricing instead of building out a wholesale and retail margin and then using volume to make sure that you're not basically overspending money you're not making. What I mean by that is this. A lot of companies will spend $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a month, $50,000, $200,000 a month in operational costs, and then they try to recoup that in their pricing instead of creating a profit margin that makes sense and testing the market to make sure you have a need for that market and then selling your products and then taking the profits and reinvesting it back into your company and then spending the money that way. People spend the money before they make it instead of make the money before they spend it. So that would be a mistake I see in the product pricing. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit, how to bring all six things together in the right way. The next one is product presentation. The way products are presented can greatly impact their perceived value and appeal. This includes factors such as packaging, product positioning, and signage. Ooh, that's a big one, product positioning, especially as it relates to service plumbing. Let's talk about a grocery store. And you're not going to put the bars of soap next to the cereal. You're not going to put the cereal next to the spices. Do you see how this works? You would put things, you would put milk next to cereal or cereal next to oatmeal or other breakfast items, maybe hot chocolate. Hot chocolate would then lead into tea. Tea would then lead into coffee. That would be the appropriate way for product presentation. Okay, this matters. The way products are presented can greatly impact their perceived value and appeal. The next one is product availability. Is it in stock? This is what they said. Ensuring that products are in stock and available to customers is critical to successful merchandising. This includes managing inventory levels and restocking products as needed. Nothing worse than convincing someone that they have hard water. You know, hey, look, you do. I showed you the evidence. You're convinced now. You know you got hard water. Now, I don't mean convincing in the persuasion kind of way. I mean convincing in the education kind of way. They got it now. They understand it. They got hard water. So they said, let's go ahead and go with the tankless, and then let's go with the softener. And you're like, well, we got to order the softener. Man, that's a killer. That's going to delay the sale. That's going to delay the installation. That's just going to give them time. Time is a deal killer. You want to be able to do the work right now. Number five, customer engagement. Effective merchandising also involves engaging with customers in a way that makes them feel welcome and appreciated. This can include offering samples or demonstrations, providing helpful information, and ensuring that employees are always able to answer questions. Hey, how many of you have been through the mall with no intentions to eat, and the next thing you know, you're eating that chicken from the restaurant that gives out samples? The teriyaki chicken, the Bourbon Street chicken. I've had it. I can't tell you how many times I've not been hungry at all and had that, and then I was eating, or I was on my way to something else, and then I ended up eating that because they gave me a sample. And customer engagement matters. Does every single person go to their restaurant? No. Do more? Probably. Analyzing sales data is number six. Analyzing sales data can help to identify trends and opportunities for improvement merchandising efforts. This can include tracking sales by product, analyzing customer feedback, and monitoring sales by store location. Let me repeat these really quick. And analyzing sales data is what we teach our owners to do in our program. We just did a podcast on this, the day-to-day plus one model of what you do every single day, what your day should look like as an owner. And the first one was making sure the phones were ringing. The second one was converting the call. We use sales data analytics or metrics or KPIs, whatever fancy term you want to put in there. But we basically go back and look at the data, and that tells us how our company did and how our company is doing and what we can expect moving forward. Once we have the right processes in place and are tracking the right numbers, we then can look at those numbers to make sure that everything's correct. Once the engine is working correctly under the hood and the instruments on the dash panel are giving me the right data, I, as a driver, can look at the dash without popping the hood and determine whether or not my car is okay. That's what we're talking about there. So how does all this tie into service plumbing? How is this all tied into service planning? This is gold right here, folks, because this is the kind of stuff, in a nutshell, I guess, that we want to try to accomplish as a company with our customers when it comes to moving more product without becoming salespeople, moving more volume without becoming pressure, you know, moving more products and services without having to get good at closing tactics. How do we avoid becoming the Grant Cardone of the world? And I'm not knocking Grant Cardone. I'm just saying I don't agree with getting really good at closing tactics. I don't want to get good at convincing and getting people to buy things. What I want to get good at is educating and informing people so that they're on the same page with me after I build a relationship with them, so that they know that I have their best interests at heart. And once I fully understand what they're after, I can offer up solutions that actually make sense to them. And if I'm smart about it and I merchandise it correctly, basically the company I work for or the owner that I'm talking to right now is hearing me. If you will create an environment and cultivate an environment for your team to work in with these things in mind, they can then go value stack for you. They can go then move that product. There's a reason why some of these guys in our program and some of these companies in our program are pushing. And by the way, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that we've got, you know, hundreds, 500, 600, whatever techs in our program and a few are doing well. Most, almost all. And if they're really, if the company's in our full program and our master's program, they're getting all the processes and they understand time off and when to come in and what the day should look like. And they're running the system the way that we teach. And all of their employees are doing well. The company is averaging $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 per truck. The company is averaging 80, 90% conversion rates, not just Steve, who's really good and could do good anywhere. See, that's the problem. We hire, we train, we buy these programs to train our team, and they just teach our better techs how to do better. But really, all along, our better techs were already going to do better because they're just better. They're just naturally gifted salespeople. But what about the people who aren't so good at sales, who aren't so naturally gifted at it, or they're really good at building relationships, but they get nervous when talking about money? They need a process that's actually got the customer in mind, not them in mind, in the sense of trying to get them to get a yes. They need help. They need real help. They need to know how it actually works. Okay, for you owners, this is how it actually works. This is how you, from the driver's seat of the car, can affect under the hood without having to get under the hood. So here we go. Product placement. Number one, do you have a way for your technicians to go through the home that makes sense to the customer? For example, I could force my customer to go down every aisle, or I could just design my store in a way like IKEA that gets the customer to go through the store. IKEA doesn't force you to. They just make it worth your while. Who's been to an IKEA? It's like the zoo. There's a whole flow and a whole path and a whole thing. Okay, product placement matters. And it matters inside the home in the way that you communicate. What we teach the plumbers inside of our program is let the plumbing lead to the plumbing. Look, if you've got a shutoff that's giving you evidence of hard water, start talking about the other shutoffs. Go check the other shutoffs. That'll lead you to the main. That'll lead you to more evidence that there's hard water buildup. Eventually, that might lead you to all the shutoffs, which is also connected to the water heater, so forth and so on. At that point, you've shown the customer enough evidence to maybe take a water conditioning test, another sign of evidence. If we're talking about high water pressure, if you're in an area where they have high water pressure, your technicians can educate the customer and ask questions. You know, we're looking at the faucet and we're asking questions like, hey, is there any way, or have you had this problem before, or any other issues like this? Have you ever had your water tested, your pressure tested? A lot of times high water pressure can be the main reason. We can totally fix your faucet, but we just want to make sure there isn't a bigger issue causing it. We're going to test your water pressure. Should be around 55. If you Google it right now, they'd say 55, nothing over 70. I'd probably agree with that. All of your little faucets and all the things in the home are little miniature dams. And so they're trying to hold the water back. And so anything over 70 PSI, they're not really designed that kind of a dam. They're not that kind of pressure. So what we do is we put a Hoover dam, a PRV, a bigger dam on your system. And that just kind of slows the water pressure down for the rest of these. Let's go check your water pressure. That's a great way of product placement. You put the PRV in their line of sight. You put it in their spectrum of making sense. Why I would walk down this aisle just to make sure. Just to check it out. They check the pressure, 55, they don't need to continue down the aisle. 75, they need to continue down the aisle. 105, they better run down the aisle. Okay, that's product placement. That's what I want you guys to think about. Let the plumbing lead to the plumbing. How can I move through the home in a methodical way, in a way that makes sense? You know, where the evidence is taking me to the next thing, not my paycheck. Okay, the second one is product pricing. This is the biggest mistake. You know, we do these hourly rates. You know, you figure out your hourly rate and it's $300, $400, $500 an hour, whatever it is. And that just doesn't work consistently because it might work for this job, but what about that job? And what I mean by that is the fill valve is $400 an hour to replace. So is breaking concrete. Come on, give me a break. They're not the same amount of work. It just doesn't, it's not consistent. So you got to have a real pricing. We have a price book. We have an app actually on the Apple Store and on the Droid Store, the Google Play Store, called the Plumbing Sales Coach. Thousands of people have downloaded and are using it all over the place, man. They're using this price book calculator. It's free. It's free. It's free for now. I don't know. We talked about maybe locking that thing down, but it's free for now. You might as well download it and get it and use it. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. I know one, I could think of probably off the top of my head, at least 15, 20 companies, maybe more, but I could think of one just specifically that has ran 10 million through it. Profitable. It works. It breaks the pricing back to the way it's supposed to be, which is retail and wholesale. And it considers risk, meaning if you're burying a $5 part in the ground 6 feet, that's going to have different risk warranty related to it than if you put a $5 part in the basement on an unfinished wall. If you have to warranty that $5 part in either scenario, there's a much bigger job associated to the one that's buried versus the one that's in the basement. So we got to have all that stuff figured out. Okay, product presentation. Ooh, the way products are presented. Now, this comes from product knowledge. Your team has to have product knowledge. They got to understand the products they're offering so they can actually present. If they present through oohs and ahs, it's weak. It can be seen through. It's not sustained. It's not effective. It's not value. It's got to be done through education, understanding how the product works, understanding why, first of all, the need is there and helping the customer understand that, not in a plumbing language, but in the customer's language, and then being able to understand and explain the solution. Okay, that's product presentation. Very important. Let's go back. Product placement, how I move through the home, why I bring things up will have an effect on it. The pricing will have an effect on it. Yeah, it needs to be, you know, $200, $300, whatever dollars for a fill valve or for the first emergency stop. But does the second one have to be that much? And what if they decide to go with three new toilets instead of just one rebuild? What value does that have for the owner now that this customer just upgraded to a much bigger purchase? And so what would you be willing to do to make that happen? I'm not saying you have to give anything necessarily for free or you have to discount anything, but man, there is a retail and a wholesale version to this, meaning one customer buying a fill valve is probably more like the convenience store customer and they got to pay more for per item. And then the one buying three toilets is more like the Costco customer. Maybe they don't pay as much per item. Something to consider, right? Product presentation we talked about. Now product availability. Is this stuff even in stock? You know, so many times it's like, oh, we don't sell them because we can't get them. Then get them. If it's a viable solution for your customer, you should have it. You should offer it, I should say. And if you're going to offer it, you should have it. Let me repeat that. If it's a viable solution for your customer, you should offer it. And if you're going to offer it, you should have it. You should have it in stock. I can't be. And then you're like, but they don't care. Then buy them 4 at a time. And if you can't afford to buy them 4 at a time, reach out to us. You're doing something wrong in your business. Customer engagement, number 5. Okay, this goes back to that water conditioning test, that pressure test. This gives the customer engagement. I have my customers reach down when I'm going to grab a shutoff for the first time and it's tight and it won't move. I'll have my customer reach down there and grab it if they want to. Let them feel it so they know I'm not just making this stuff up. Like, your shutoff actually doesn't work. And I'm just going to take a sidebar on this one. Ooh, this one's going to hurt some feelings maybe. But I remember one guy said, oh, I don't touch shutoffs. That opens a whole can of worms. They might leak. And I said, well, I don't think they were designed to just be there. They're not designed to just not leak. They're designed to shut the water off during an emergency. So if it's going to leak on you, it's going to leak on them. The difference is it's going to leak on you, a trained professional, while you're there in a situation that's not exasperated. And it's going to leak on them when they need it, when the situation is exasperated and a trained professional isn't there. So to your point of not wanting to touch it because it might leak, more reason to touch it because it might leak. You just have to have that conversation with the customer ahead of time. Can't just reach down there and grab it, make it leak. You got to explain to them, hey, do you ever use your shutoffs? Have these been touched in a while? Okay, a lot of times these can leak. A lot of times these get stuck in the open position or the closed position, depending on what position they were left in. So I'm going to go here over here and reach it and exercise it. But if it doesn't move at all, we might have to look at considering replacing these. The reason why I'm touching it is because I have to shut water off to this faucet to work on it. The reason I'm touching it is because I have to shut water off to this toilet to work on it. And so if this doesn't work, I'm going to have to check your main shutoff. And now you got the main shutoff you got to go check. That's customer engagement because they're a part of it. It says this can include offering samples or demonstrations, providing helpful information, and ensuring that you're able to answer their questions. And the last one is sales data. Let's analyze the sales data. You know, let's analyze the sales data. Technicians that get in our program in the beginning, they have this mental hurdle where they start selling a whole lot of stuff, okay? They start moving a whole lot more product. But maybe they were used to getting $6,800 for the tankless, and now we're selling, and they're used to getting $2,800 for the softener. But now we're selling the tankless and the softener for $7,800. And they're like, oh, I'm losing money. I'm not making. But at the end of the day, when I go back and look at their sales history, they weren't. They were selling a tankless here and there. They sold a softener here and there. But with the new numbers, they're selling them like hotcakes. So at the end, they're making more money. They're generating more revenue. The company's more profitable. The customer's getting a better deal. They're more efficient. They're working more. everything's great, but the number just isn't as high and they can't mentally wrap themselves around that. So stop using emotion to decide what makes sense and start using logic. Logic comes through data. Numbers don't lie. Analyzing sales data can help you identify trends. Identifying sales data can help you identify opportunities. It can help you improve merchandising efforts. Like, okay, we're only selling one softener for every 10 tanklesses. Maybe if we did a combo bundle deal, we would sell four softeners for every 10 tanklesses. And even though we didn't make as much money on the first softener, we still made money, more money, because we sold three additional softeners. Gotta be smart about this. We gotta be smart about this. Do not let emotion get in the way. You never had that sale. The idea that I'm going to go turn a shutoff into three toilets, a softener, a PRV, and a tankless and charge full price for everything, and the customer's going to be like, yeah, let's do it. Maybe. But a whole lot more would do it if they had a reason to. Look, I'm going to give you the three reasons right now while people will go from I'm not buying today to I'm buying right now, or I'm only buying this to I'm buying all of that. I'll give you the three reasons why it happens. What gets people to move? What moves the needle? What gets people excited? What gets them their serotonins drop, their endorphins flowing to where they feel like they're excited and happy and joyful about this decision? I'll tell you what they are right now. I'm going to give you all three of them. Really quick before I do that, make sure you go to theplumbingsalescoach.com, request more information about our training program. We'll get someone on the phone with you today. My sister Mary actually will reach out to you. My sister will reach out to you. You can ask her all kinds of questions about me. She'll tell you everything. She does not mind sharing my problems with Monopoly and different issues that we had as a child growing up. Tell all, 317-605-2284, or go to theplumbingsalescoach.com and request more information. Again, 317-605-2284. She'll get you any information you want. We'll help you out as much as we can, get you connected with the right podcasts, get you pricing on programs, whatever you need to move to the next level. Let's talk about those three things. You ready? Here we go. Number one, people will do it based on an experience. Disneyland's an experience. Fine dining is an experience. Going to this place called Cake Bake, my daughter and my wife, they go to Cake Bake, and it's $18 for a cup of tea and $34 for three cookies. And what a deal, they say. Oh, what a deal. Because of the experience. They treat you like gold in there. Almost thought about having a retreat and taking all the plumbing owners there so they could see what it looks like to put on a full ambiance of experience and culture. So experience is the first one. The second one is value. Extreme value. For some people, literally, think about it, they buy Teslas. Now, that there's no discount on a Tesla, but for them, there's a value, whether it be green earth, whether it be saving on gas, whatever it is. For other people, they drive diesels, big old diesels, the opposite values of the person that owns the Tesla. So the second one is value. And again, neither one of those items are discounted. And then the third one is a deal, giving someone a deal. Now, this is the big misconception about deals. Everybody thinks it has to be done through discounts. It can be done through discounts. Some of the time that makes sense, but oftentimes it's not. It's called value adds. It's something unique and special we teach inside the company. Things that you can identify in the home that are value adds that really provide extreme value to the customer, but maybe don't raise the overall costs of what you're doing. Look, you want to get good at getting people excited, buying a lot of stuff from you, leaving you great reviews, not calling about price objections later, or complaining or thinking about it and waiting for a week before they call you back, if they call you back. If you want to get rid of all that, you want to create an environment where everybody's converting at a regular, you need to have a sales process, I'll say that. But also, you need to make sure you get these things right here. Some of the things we talked about on this podcast today are the key ingredients, the key essentials, the things you need to be doing to really move the needle, to really get your customers excited about the purchase. Look, I've watched companies go from $20,000 a week to $60,000 a week, $40,000 a week, literally in months. Okay, it doesn't take a lot. It does take some new mindset shifts and then some implementation of some processes. But first and foremost is the mindset shifts. And I want to help you do that. Listen, I love you. That's why we do this podcast. And as always, remember, this is crucial. Serve your community in everything, not just plumbing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Plumbing Sales Coach podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and check us out on the web at theplumbingsalescoach.com.